Hey, Potters, welcome to episode 250 of Cosplay Podcast for all things cosplay. Woo! Celebration, yay!
Woo. Oh, she wooed the mic again. She did the thing. It popped.
Because I'm back. This is how you know I'm back.
Right. I did math, and I figured out that we would not hit 300 for at least another two, if not three, seasons from now. So we still got some time. It'll be like season 15. Sounds appropriate, doesn't it?
You know, I haven't even thought that far to episode 300, honestly.
It's impressive that we're still doing this now.
I know, right? Even 250 is a pretty big...
It's a big number.
...anniversary, because we are a bi-weekly podcast. We're not weekly.
We're not weekly.
So we do... In fact, we actually are even less than bi-weekly, because we only do it for the first 10 months of the year, and then we have two-month hiatus.
Mm-hmm.
So it's... I was going to say we do 26 episodes a year, but it's not even that. It's more like...
It's 22 to 20.
20?
Yeah, I counted it up because I had to go through and do some Cospot stuff recently. And it's like we do about 22 to 23 a year, but we've only started doing that even a couple of years ago because we used to do the full year.
Right.
But even still, that's a lot of work. I can't imagine the people who do it weekly. Like, you all are troopers. Seriously?
Rock stars.
A lot of work and time and dedication. And how do you all have lives?
Lives?
I mean that in the nicest way possible. How do you all have lives?
Granted. You know, when we first started out, we were doing it a bit more often, and then life kind of gave us a reality check.
Life told us, hey, you have a job. You need to focus on that. Hey, you have got family. You got to focus on that.
Yes.
It's a thing. It happens.
Speaking of life happening, cosplay updates. Yay!
Cosplay updates. That's always a joy.
Unfortunately, I don't have cosplay updates. Instead, I have story time, and this is why I don't have any cosplay updates.
Story time for Amber.
So, on Wednesday evening, I went to go and do some browsing on my phone, only to find that the lithium battery inside my personal phone had exploded. And so needless to say, it did not ignite on fire, so it was not entirely... You know, a full Amber experience, for which I am grateful because I don't really want chemical burns all over my hands. That said, I had to go and spend a lot more money than I had planned on to go and buy a new phone on Thursday night. So I now have a new phone. I had to transfer everything over to it, all of my photos and tutorials and such for cosplay and the like. So that was uber, uber, uber stressful. And then I found out last night that my lease is coming, my lease renewal is coming due for my apartment complex where I live, and they want to raise my rent 30%. You did not hear that incorrectly. That is 30%. So unfortunately, I have 3 months to find a new place to live. And that's going to be not only stressful, but very, very, very difficult in the current housing market because everything is expensive now.
Understatement of the century.
Needless to say, unfortunately, and I apologize in advance, you guys may not see very many cosplay updates from me here in the near future simply because I'm going to have to pack all of my things into a box again. And then I will have to spend another month unpacking it once I move. So apologies in advance. I will do what I can in terms of cosplay updates, but you may find that those are a bit few and far in between. And, in another very Amber move, my old phone is currently sitting in my refrigerator. And the reason for that is to keep the battery from overheating and doing any more damage to my phone, because I would eventually like to get the battery replaced so I can use it as a backup phone. It still works perfectly. The keyboard still works. There are no dead spots. Still connects and makes phone calls. The case is just cracked wide open.
Because it's a bulging battery.
It is, and so it is sitting in my refrigerator right now.
Such an Amber thing.
This is the same person who puts power tools in her freezer when they overheat. So, you know, it's still a very, very Amber thing to do.
So Amber. That's so Amber.
So that's all the updates I have. That's the end of Amber's story time for this week.
Oh, that was a delightful story time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I too have no cosplay updates, but I do have Cospod updates. Does that count? I think that counts.
Close enough.
I mean, it's cosplay related, right?
Okay.
Yeah, I mean,
I'll take it,
right? I've been so busy doing things for Cospod in the name of cosplay. There you go.
That works.
So first off, I just wanted to say a big thank you to the loads of emails that we've been getting recently, because my, we've had so much fan mail just in the last couple of weeks, and it's like, this is great. I've been answering them as fast as I can. There have been so many Nick Cage memes going out. It's been wonderful. We really appreciate all of you for taking the time to contact us and to share your cosplay progress.
You guys are exercising Vel's meme muscles.
Yes. Like I said, I have a folder of just Nick Cage memes that are ready and raring to go, and I still got plenty to go through, but I did get rid of a bunch of them, so top notches for that. But we really are super thankful, and we're really happy that you guys are enjoying the show, and that we hope we can continue to keep providing the content you expect from us, mixed in with our usual zaniness, of course.
That will never change.
No.
You will always get zaniness from us.
So yeah, needless to say, Val has been very busy doing a bunch of Cospod things. There's a lot of stuff in the works behind the scenes. We've got some interviews coming up, and it's just been very, very busy with scheduling and all that funness. I do wanted to let everybody know about a feed update. It's been fixed. I know we had an oopsie for half a day. I'm really sorry. I don't know what happened, because the feed was working fine, and then it decided, hey, we don't like a description on one of your episodes, so we're going to take you down. Okay, sure. That's fine. It was long enough for Google to be like, nah, you're not a podcast anymore, and they delisted us. Thanks, Google. So we don't know how long it's going to take for us to get re-verified by them. We're really sorry about that. But if you check any other of your favorite podcasting sources, you're fine. We're back to normal. I got it fixed in less than half a day. Didn't take any downtime from us. It's just Google is a snowflake, and I don't know how to resolve it. They will figure it out eventually. They have been my problem child for the last 2 years. I'm going to blame COVID, because that's the only thing that makes sense at this point. I don't know. So yeah, there you go. There's your cosplay updates from all the cosplay stuff.
Just thinking about that, it's your problem child. That's like the most apt description ever.
Google is my problem child. The only reason that we have an audio feed now is because of Google. That's the only reason. And I'm just, because I know how powerful a tool Google is, and especially for our search engine rankings, it was like, okay, we just need to keep feeding the beast. We'll keep playing with the monster. It's fine. Because they went from any type of podcasting format is totally cool with us. And then sometime when 2019, 2020, they updated their formats and they changed their system so it's much more streamlined. Great, cool. They just decided to get rid of the video format without telling anybody. And it took many months and many emails back and forth for them to finally say, oh, we don't do video anymore, so it has to be audio only. Okay, fine. I'll make an audio feed. Which has benefited us, because now we're on Spotify and Amazon Music and in all these places now. So it ended up being a really good thing, but dang, that's more work. So Google has just been nothing but a problem for me, and usually they're pretty kind, so I don't know. Eventually, our feed will work again through them. I don't know when, but it'll work at some point. that's it. That's it for my cosplay updates.
I mean, you guys have been with us, the audience have been with us long enough to have seen our feed have to change and break and get fixed and move several different times already. Because keep in mind that, you know, while any donations that come to the show go directly into the show, because we're not sponsored in any sort of way, so literally any money that we take in pays for our web hosting and our domain hosting, or our domain registration. That's it. We do everything on the back end. We script the feed ourselves. We maintain the website ourselves. We don't pay a service to do it. Yeah. We do everything
else.
We
do everything.
So if something breaks, please do let us know, because
we
don't always get alerted and we have to go fix it.
And usually it's really simple and easy fixes, because at least with the feed, it tells you it's this line, and you're like, okay, that's simple. Boop, done. Website, that's a whole different issue. It's easier than it used to be, but at least, you know, requires some thought process. But yes, that's it for my cosplay updates, because they're cosplay updates. And there will probably be many more in the future, because I'm not really working on cosplay things right now. It's busy at work. It's the busy season, so it's going to be a little difficult. But hey, I'm trying. I'm putting effort into it.
Always. It's perpetually, perpetually busy.
Yeah.
But, you know, we still try and do a little bit of cosplay on the side to just kind of de-stress.
Yeah, it's that creativity really helps mm-hmm. just keep people calm, keep people relaxed, help fire all those neurons in the right ways, help with anxiety, all the good stuff. Sometimes it does involve yelling at fabric and machines, but that's okay. That's okay. At least this time you guys get to see my cosplay in the background. I've angled my camera in such a way. I hope you enjoy.
But not yelling at cakes made to look like sewing machines.
No, we will talk about that in the after session.
All right, but in order to get to the after session, we've got a topic to talk about today first.
We do have a topic to talk about today. In fact, it's actually an interview, and we're going to be talking about the impact of social media on cosplay. We hope that you guys enjoy this wonderful discussion that we have. All right, Potters, for our 250th episode, please help me welcome Lex Lunar, a New York-based cosplayer and social media guru, at least I think so, with over 4.6 million likes on TikTok, which is just absolutely mind-blowing on so many levels. Lex is joining us for an interview and to dive into the subject of how social media has changed the way we perceive cosplay. So happy to have you on the show, Lex.
Thank you so much for having me. You flatter me.
I'm just like mind blown. When I looked up your TikTok, I was like, how many views is that? Oh my Lord, what? It's so much.
A couple times of getting lucky, I swear.
Well, tell us a little bit about yourself and your journey into cosplay.
So my journey began recently. I did dabble a bit in cosplay back when I was in middle school and high school, but I never really got into it until the pandemic hit and I was twiddling my thumbs at home. And I had nothing better to do than to sit down with a camera and start making some videos. And my friends were into cosplay and we were quarantining together, and the rest was just kind of history. We started cosplaying together, making content together, and everything just flowed.
Well, that's really cool. So it really didn't take off until like a couple of years ago. Did you like start cosplaying before then, or was it really just pandemic hit and this just sparked your interest?
So I went to ColossalCon East in 2019 and I borrowed my friend's cosplays for that. They let me be, I was Lara Croft, I was Ranma, the female half, and then I also did Haruka from Free, the female version. And that was all, like, they lent me the cosplays, and I just tagged along with them. And then I went again in KatsuCon 2020. That was just before everything shut down. And I met so many people. And they introduced me to TikTok, and I did TikTok videos with them and ended up getting a lot of traction. And I was like, you know, maybe I should make an account. And then obviously lockdown hit and I made the account and things took off really quickly from there. So I was kind of hooked.
So what aspects of cosplay do you enjoy the most?
It's definitely, I love the makeup and being able to change the features of my face and, you know, bring out some parts, minimalize others, see how much I can change what I look like. But it's also been a really great journey of self-discovery, because I found that through cosplaying male characters, I've like come to appreciate having wider shoulders and like narrower hips. And so it's cool to learn to love parts of yourself and accentuate those parts and be able to show them off instead of feel like you have to hide them.
That's a really good comment. I didn't even think about it that way, because I've done crossplay a couple of times, but I've never really kind of thought about like, okay, does my body really work for this? Do I fit in with this? I've always been kind of awkward with it and just kind of stuck to the female characters because of it. I didn't think about it as a way to appreciate your body and who you naturally are. That's awesome.
Yeah. It like I had a little snag where I was cosplaying only males for so long that I forgot how to be like cute and feminine. But ever since I started doing Sailor Moon cosplays, like I'm a changed woman.
You're transformed now.
Yes, but now I just go back and forth depending on what the mood is during the day.
Very cool. So, how has cosplay impacted your life?
I mean, like I said, it's been a great source of self-love for me. And I've gone through struggles with body image and social media, and I've gone through periods of like really being proud of how I look and how I feel as a person, and being able to express myself through art, through sewing, makeup, and like kind of acting in a way too when you're doing videos. It's really been a journey of self-discovery for me and connecting with people, making friends.
That's the fun part of it, is when you get to connect with other cosplayers, especially on social media, and you can do those fun collabs with others. Oh my goodness.
Yes, it was so much fun. I found that I was able to make a really tight-knit group of friends very quickly because we're all doing the same things, we're all into the same things, and we just click right away after we do collabs and stuff like that.
Very cool. Okay, so I have two of our grab bag questions for you before we dive into our topic. First one is, where do you hope cosplay will go in the next 5 years?
Personally, or just like as a
It can be personal or whatever you think that the cosplay realm is expecting.
Well, I know I can speak for myself personally. I'm planning on moving to Japan, and I really hope to cosplay there. So,
That's
within
so
the next,
cool.
it's super exciting. I know that it's a very different scene than America. So I've just been like really doing my research to figure out how to do this correctly and respectfully and adhere to the rules and make sure that I am representing not only foreigners but cosplayers as a whole and kind of presenting them in a positive light. So I'm treading very carefully.
Oh, that'll be so exciting for you, though. Yeah, it is a very different realm in Japan, and I'm glad that you're taking the time to do your research. That's awesome of you. And then my other question is, what is your favorite material to work with?
So I'm actually going to say Duchess Satin.
Yeah.
And the only reason I say that is because that's the fabric I have the most experience with. It is what I have been battling every time I make a sailor suit. And typically people hate satin because it's so slippery and wiry. But I find that a nice layer of interfacing makes things very easy. And just the satisfaction I get from ironing the wrinkles out.
Yes.
It like makes it all worth it for me because I have this crinkly bow and then I just whoosh, I feel a wash of zen.
It's just so satisfying. All right. So now we know a little bit more about you, bit your cosplay history. We're going to go dive into our topic at hand, which is social media and cosplay, something that I've been wanting to talk about forever and a day. And I'm glad that I finally get a chance to. We know it's transformed the costuming experience from the way that we view it and the way we interact with it. And we know that cosplay today, from like a social media standpoint, has really changed in like the even like the last 5 years, because we're having to adapt and stay relevant with social media. So to start this conversation, I think it would help the audience to know our history with social media and how we use it for cosplay. So why don't you go ahead and start, and then I will follow it up.
So for me, I've been cosplaying pretty much as long as I've been doing social media. So for me, there wasn't a shift going from just kind of privately doing it to like publicly posting things. It was just public and open from the start. So for me, I didn't have to really adjust to any kind of shift going from, nobody sees my work to the whole world can see it. So I think that's nice because sometimes that adjustment can be really hard for people. But I think in terms of like I don't want to go too into it, so I want to give you a chance to talk about it first before I completely like dive in.
Yeah, because my experience of it is like I am like an old school OG social media person. Like I have an OG Facebook account. Like when Facebook was back on college campuses only, that's how old my Facebook account is. So I am a veteran and then some. I am very much a millennial.
Do we have a year to put to this, or is that like
2005?
Okay, because I was only on Facebook. I think I joined Facebook in 2009.
Okay, yeah.
So still 4 years, a lot changes.
A lot of it has changed. And I remember back in the days, like before we had pages, like that's how old my account is because it was normal. So for us, like when pages first started coming out, I remember myself and so many of my other cosplay friends kind of flocking to it because we were like, oh, this is great as a photo album. This will be great for us to share resources and tutorials. And then, hey, we can see where other cosplayers are so we can meet up with them. So for us, it was like a connection tool to just meet other cosplayers. And then as my cosplaying hobby developed, it became more about using it to help promote my business because I had an Etsy business on the side and I was doing commissions. So that was like a good transition to me. And a lot of other cosplayers I saw were doing the exact same thing. And yeah. it really was like a private hobby. We had a couple of forums that we could talk to people on, but it really wasn't a public space until social media hit. So then it was just like, okay, now I'm out in the eye. People can see my stuff. That's weird. And it still weirds me out on occasion where I'm just like, I'm posting these things of those weird fabric finds, but now the whole world can see it. Yeah. This is weird.
And that was something that was overwhelming for me at first too, because when I made my cosplay account, it went 0 to 100 very quickly.
Yes.
So I went from like just sharing my videos because it was fun to I have 10,000 people watching me right now in the matter of 2 weeks. And that was really hard for me to like mentally process.
Amber and I both still have that same issue when it comes to our podcast because we have an average of 50,000 listeners a month. And I'm still like, how? Why? I still cannot process this. And it's been like that for years, but I'm like, I don't understand. No. So I totally like, get that. So knowing our backgrounds now, how do you think cosplay is perceived on social media today?
Perceived by the cosplay community itself.
We could do it by the cosplay community, but also probably at the world at large, because I think they have a big influence on how we do our cosplays now and how we post.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. So I think what I've noticed most about social media is there's kind of two aspects to it. There is the sharing and the community aspect, and that's very much like how things kind of started as being like a private space for people to like meet, connect, and share information. And then there's the business and marketing side to it now.
Yeah.
And it's, you kind of have to choose which side you want to be on because it's very hard to walk a line in the middle. And I'm trying desperately to walk that line because I love this as a hobby so much and I don't want to lose it to the business side. But there's positives and negatives to having that business side because on one hand, you can turn what you love into a job and it pays for itself then. And that's where I'm at, where I spend a lot of money on cosplay because I can also make some of it back. And I'm not like just funneling money into the sinkhole. And then you also get corporations getting involved. And now you have access to all these cosplays that are just ready to buy. And you buy it and you wear it and you're cosplaying and you don't have to worry about researching, sewing, prop making. It's just all done for you. So, you know, you can either focus on all the positive aspects to it or kind of lose yourself down the rabbit hole.
And it's so easy to dive into that rabbit hole and just completely sucked in. Because I know my biggest concern with cosplayers as I see it today when they post so much on social media is, Are you taking a break? Are you getting, I feel like a mom. I'm like, are you eating enough? Are you making sure to hydrate? You're doing 8 posts a day of different costumes. Are you okay? Because we just have this churn and burn cycle of just wanting to post more content so often that I'm just like, oh, it's getting to be a little too much. Maybe we need to slow our rolls a little bit.
Yeah. And I think that's where the business aspect kind of comes in again, because you have access to all this like fast fashion cosplays. you can just buy 10 cosplays and do 10 cosplays in one day if you really want to. And unfortunately, that's the kind of like online activity that gets pushed the most as well.
Yes.
So like spamming posts or posting a lot and very frequently and very consistently gets all the views, whereas something that you take a really long time to make and really painstaking to create the content doesn't always get the attention that it necessarily like deserves.
Yeah, that algorithm constantly changes because I remember even just a couple of years ago, people doing handmade, hand-sewn costumes, they were getting a lot more views compared to how they're doing it today. They're still doing the same stuff, posting with the same frequency, but because it's slow rolls, it's just they're not getting the same amount of contact that they used to. And it's just like, it could be so hard too because you want the likes, you want the views, you know that that translates to either more sales for your business or it gives you an opportunity to go to more conventions as a guest or to do this or do that. And it's like, it's a constant struggle and it's so frustrating.
And then again, that brings you back to, compartmentalizing what you want out of your social media experience, whether it's going to be just networking and having fun with a group of people who share your interests versus wanting that fame, wanting to expand your business and, make money off of what you love.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's a good way of kind of separating the two because definitely I've seen that shift. Because I remember when it was all in one, but now it's like, okay, there was definitely a split in the road somewhere, and you have to pick which side you want to be on. Do you think that that's probably the biggest change that we've seen in cosplay and social media over the past few years? Or do you think there's also been some other adjustments or things that we've haven't really seen?
So to talk about a more positive aspect of it, I've seen so much innovation in
Yes,
cosplay.
that's the greatest part
And
about it, is just seeing all the cool things that people are posting, and especially the video work. I'm constantly amazed by the video work.
yes. I think two people that really stick out to me as cosplay innovators are Kamui Cosplays and Kinpatsu Cosplay. I don't know if you
Yes.
know either of them,
Oh,
but
yeah.
they
I've
are.
interviewed both of them.
Oh, you have? I didn't even
Yes.
see it. Oh, that's awesome. I would love to get a chance to pick their brains because they are so talented. They have so much dedication to the craft. And seeing somebody who has all the time and all the resources put out a cosplay or a costume piece that is just perfect, like in
Yeah.
every way. It's so amazing to get to see stuff like that and see people pushing the boundaries and seeing how can we do it better? How can we make it better? How can we make it accurate? And like the LEDs, the builds, it's just amazing to see all that.
The great thing about the two of them too, in the conversations that we've had in the past, is that they're genuinely really nice people, which so totally translates whenever they do their videos or have their posts, and that they just want to put like, hey, cosplay's for everybody. Here's some helpful tips. Here's do this, do that. Like they just want everybody to do it and have fun with it, which is so endearing and so nice to see.
I really, really admire them as creators because not only are they like dedicated and like talented, but they're also advocating for like healthy social media practices.
Yes.
I've seen a couple of posts. I think it was from Kamui who posted it. They both start with K, so I cannot remember for the life of me. But they were talking about how you need to remember that sometimes it's not all about the business side. It's also about enjoying it and having that sense of community.
Definitely the play side of cosplay. I would definitely have to agree with that too, because it's very wholesome to me to know that they care so much about the hobby and the craft, but they're also telling their community, like, hey, it's okay to stop and take a breather. Like, you do what's best for you. You don't need to push yourself and go into con crunch mode for all this stuff. Like, you go at your pace, you have fun with it. And it's so nice just to see more people push that messaging out there. So I'm glad to see the positive side of
Yes, 100%.
it. And I think for me, like the other change that I've seen with cosplay, really it's just the way that video has taken off. It was something I never expected, which is so strange because I grew up at a time where the hobby was like, hey, here's all these cosplay music videos on YouTube, and you would see them for every convention. And I was just like, yeah, it's cool. I never in my brain was like, oh, yeah, this could translate to social media.
It's nice to see. I think people just thrive off of, seeing their favorite characters not only come to life, but also seeing the process behind how it happens as well.
Yes.
Like transformation videos I've found are very popular, where you go from out of cosplay and then you swipe your hands and suddenly you're the
It's
character.
so
Or,
cool.
where you do like the speed videos where you show like cutting out the fabric, sewing it together, ironing stuff, trying it on, taking it off, putting it back together, like seeing it come to life in like real time is very satisfying.
Especially the transformation videos, as somebody who has way too many film degrees, like to see people actually doing the cutting properly also makes me very happy. I'm like, yes, you kept the camera still, you kept it rolling. Thank you.
Yeah, it's really nice seeing people explore all these different avenues of like what it takes, what goes into making cosplay, from like wig styling, makeup, clothing making, prop making, filming, lighting, editing. There's so much that goes into it, and it's cool to see, people mastering this and like more and more just interesting and innovative content being, poured out.
Is there any particular type of content that you kind of gravitate towards with your social media?
Initially I was on TikTok and I was posting so many videos, whether that was transition videos, little mini skits, lip syncing. I did a little bit of dancing. But I honestly prefer photos. I like getting ready for a photo shoot. I like working with a photographer. I love editing pictures, and I can sit down and edit pictures for hours. I just love it. And then, I found that because pictures don't get as much traction, it's better to post videos, but I love posting pictures, so I'm not gonna stop posting pictures. I can't. I love it too much.
That's a good mindset to have, because I know, especially with Instagram pushing us so hard to go towards videos, it's just like, but I just want to keep posting pictures. That's what I enjoy. I just take out my phone, I snap my fabric, and I'm good to go.
And I've found that I've been looking for other apps, other websites to use besides Instagram, where sharing images is more appreciated. And I found that I've actually been on a lot of Japanese websites.
Okay.
One of the ones that I've been using is Cosplay Archive, and it's just
Yes.
photo-based. I don't know if you've heard of it.
I have heard of it. I've been on it like a couple of times and it's always seemed interesting to me, but I just haven't really done a deep dive into it.
It's definitely hard to navigate because it is all in
It's
Japanese.
Japanese.
I don't know if there is an English version of the site. I've only been using the Japanese version and just like slowly struggling my way through it. but it's nice. It's nice to be able to have a place to post pictures and kind of just pictures, just appreciate cosplay in an image form.
Yeah, it kind of reminded me of back when Facebook pages first started. It was just that concept of, I have an album with some photos, let me share it with everybody. Like, that's literally all it is. I'm like, oh, that's so nice.
The simplicity is refreshing.
Yes. So, has your approach to social media, either to showcase your work, connect with other cosplayers, et cetera, has any of that adjusted as your content evolved?
Yeah, 100%. Just recently, I've been navigating the crossroads, like the compartmentalization again between hobby and work. And I'm like trying to neatly straddle that. And I found that in the beginning, I was very much buying into like pumping out content, doing video content, doing what's trending, doing a lot of different characters. I was just doing casual versions, so I wasn't really making any sort of cosplays that I was like done from scratch that I could be like, yes, proud of. I was just putting on a shirt, putting on the wig, putting on the makeup, and like making content.
Done.
Yeah, literally. That was fun. Like I was getting into cosplay every week and I was making like 15 to 20 videos every time I was in cosplay, and it just flowed. And then you can only do that for so long before you hit the burnout, before you need to take a break. And I took a break. And after the break, I didn't really see the same like the algorithm had changed. My videos weren't getting as many views, distribution, like stuff like that. And it's really disheartening for me, and it made me kind of reflect and think, well, what am I doing this for? And so there was a shift that happened for me, going from doing what's popular and making sure I'm always posting to doing what I actually really love. And that happened to be Sailor Moon content. And I just fell back in love with it again. And I do have days where, I'm like, oh gosh, it's so disheartening and not see all this hard work I put in be rewarded. And it's definitely frustrating to go from having viral videos to just kind of posting and it exists. But I think at the end of the day, I'd rather focus on the fact that I'm doing what I love and the hobby compartment rather than, trying to cram myself into the business compartment and turn it into something that I come to resent.
I'm actually very much the same way with you, because when I started going into the business side, it was fine for a little bit, but then the algorithms kept changing so frequently, and it was just impossible for me to stay on top of it. And I was busy with my day job, so it was just becoming harder for me to take more commissions. And I just hit a point where I was like, I'm done. I want to keep cosplaying, but I'm tired of trying to keep up with all this social media content. It's just so mentally exhausting. And it just became, you know what? I'm going to post when I want to post, what I want to post. And if it's once a month, it's once a month. I don't care anymore. And I know I've lost followers because of it. I've lost views. And that's okay, because I'm just like, hey, at least it doesn't stress me out anymore. At least I'm in a nice, happier, healthier mental place that I can just be like, eh, here's my thing. Do what you want with it.
Exactly. And I really truly admire the people who can keep up with it and who can put in that work. And like, if they're gonna grind for it, like 100%, like I hope they get the views and the exposure that they're after. But again, like you said in the beginning, I worry for the people who aren't stopping to take a break and, taking a stock.
Got to have a little bit of a breather. It's okay to have a schedule. Like, scheduling is totally fine. I'm such a scheduler. I get that. But it's also like, you don't have to push yourself to do 10 a day unless you're like, that's what you really want to do. That's fine. You do you. But, just take a little bit of a breather. Have like a 2 week break in between. It's totally cool. No one's going to yell at you. If anything, your hardcore fans are the ones I find that are usually the like promoting you to like, please take a break. It's okay.
No, like I found that since I stopped, posting so much and posting all the time and doing overworking myself, the people who really appreciate my work are still there.
Yeah, exactly.
I still have a handful of people who I see in every single comment section who are messaging me, sharing my stuff, spreading it around, and like encouraging me and supporting me. And that's all I really need, I've found. It's like, yes, I'd like to grow. Yeah, I want to see where how far I can take it and how far I can go. But at the end of the day, if this is all there is, I can't be angry at it because I love it.
Yeah, I think you end up fostering a healthier community because of it. You get people who are really on board with you and your content, but they also care about you as a person. You're not just somebody who's putting on costumes. Like, yeah, there's a human being behind the screen, and we care that you're happy and healthy too.
And that's actually like that's the dark side of, getting popular on social media is the more people who follow you, the bigger your following is, you like start to lose your humanity in these people's eyes. And I've noticed that on my most popular videos that got like 4 million views, there are people in there saying the most sadistic and deranged things.
It's just disgusting sometimes. I'm like, I never look at comments. I'm like, I don't, if I don't know you, I ain't looking at the comments.
My comment filter is so long.
Yep.
Anytime I get a comment that is negative and like insulting, I just write that word on the key list on
Yep.
the list of banned words, and I don't see it. I've put a lot of work into protecting myself and my mental health online, and if you don't know how to do that properly, and you have a large platform, it wreaks havoc on your mental health. And I've seen it. I've seen a lot of my friends who have hundreds of thousands of followers, millions of followers, and they are not okay.
It's a lot to handle too, especially if you let those comments really sit in and just sink. And you're just like, oh, but that's not me. That's not who I am. But this is how it just becomes the spiraling out of control thing and just keep going deeper and deeper into that pit. And I hate when people start writing those nasty comments. I'm like, why do you have to do that? It's such a nice thing.
It's like, I'm just trying to have a good time.
Yeah. I'm just wearing a dumb costume. Leave me alone.
I know I wear a wig. So what?
So what? Yes, my eyebrows look funky. Thank you.
The one I hate the most, the comment is just, why?
Because I want to. Why not? This is how I have fun.
Yeah, yeah.
Why do you watch football? There you go.
Yeah, I do. I worry about especially the younger people involved in cosplay who are really, you know, they're really wanting this fame. They're wanting the views, the likes, the comments, and you want them to foster a healthy relationship with their hobbies instead of doing something for fame. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping that we can get more more cosplayers, more popular cosplayers like Kamui and Kimpatsu who are advocating for healthy relationships with your hobbies rather than, you know, just keep on grinding for the clout, you know?
Exactly. So to kind of wrap up this discussion, do you have any suggestions on how people can manage and curate their social accounts?
So I think for me, taking a step back is the first step. Because I hit a point where I was spending way too much time on my phone. And I think the more time you spend on social media, the more your mental health kind of like goes down because you're exposed to so much content. And eventually you get to a point where you're viewing content that might not be healthy. And the more you view that content, interact with it, the more it's pushed back in your face again. So taking a step back and kind of reconceptualizing what you want out of cosplay, what you want as a person, and then coming back and only interacting with things that you truly relate to and you want to see. And then, of course, there's the not interested button that you can hit when you see content that really bothers you. And then again, protecting yourself by making these lists of banned words. Just being careful and not just mindlessly scrolling, because that's where you start going down the rabbit hole, I think.
To kind of add on to that too, is I would also recommend people for their personal feed, like just be conscious of who you're following. You don't need to follow every single cosplayer. If something bothers you, just unfollow it. Don't let it keep junking up your personal home feed, because then it just keeps adding to the negative emotions and that's never good.
And I think having a keen eye for photoshopping and basically people manipulating their content and making it misleading. So I only really became aware of this fully when I started editing photos myself and going through and fixing the lighting, fixing the coloring, and like smoothing my skin. When you see it and it's overdone, then you think, oh, well, next time I edit my photos, I'll smooth that out a little more. It'll be fine. And then eventually you hit a point where like you're kind of dipping your toes in the uncanny valley. And and then you look in the mirror and you're like, whoa, that's not who's in the picture.
Sometimes it's a little too much photoshopping and you just have to kind of rein it back in and be like, okay, yeah, hold on, there's still a person in here. We can have a couple of pores. It's okay.
Yeah. So having a healthy relationship with Photoshop and photo editing is also really important to like curating a healthy and not mind-numbing social media experience. That's the one.
Awesome. Well, do you have any other final words that you can think of for our topic?
I would say if you're somebody who is kind of on the fence, trying to figure out how to compartmentalize yourself into the, is this a hobby? Is this a business? Always knee jerk back into the hobby. Always take a step back and always come back to what you love and then work it out from there. Because if you're not sure where you want to go and you're trying to push something that might not be for you, you're going to end up in a really hard place mentally. And I was there. I still am there. I'm still working through it. But I think that kind of taking a step back and keeping my hobby a hobby has helped me so much. And I think that everybody should take the time to look at what they love and try to figure out why they love it and what they're doing it for.
That's fantastic life advice. Well, thank you so much. Where can people find your work?
So I am on Instagram, The Last Black Moon, TikTok, The Last Black Moon. I am active on Twitter. That is a more complex handle, but I have everything in my Instagram bio. There's a link to all my other social media, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, it's all there. So Instagram is probably the best way to go, The Last Black Moon, and then there's a link to my beacons where you can see everything else from there.
Great. Well, Lex, thank you so much. This has been a wonderful discussion. I am so happy that you joined us for this.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been so great to be able to just like talk. Say what's on my mind.
Well, we greatly appreciate it.
I appreciate you. Thank you guys for doing what you do and being so dedicated and being so positive. It's good to have people like you in the community who are advocating for, you know, I think what's most important in cosplay. And okay. That's how to go.
I'm doing what you love.
Gonna hide the blushy now. No.
Please, I'm probably blushing too.
Duh.
Thank you very much once more to Lex Lunar for being with us on this particular episode, which is a very special episode of Cosplay.
It's a topic I've been really wanting to talk for a while. I've been trying to find, you know, people who we can bring in and be like, okay, open discussion. Who can I pick? Who can I pick? And they just happened to contact us at the right time. I was like, perfect. We're doing this.
And we love, love, love talking shop.
Yes.
With other cosplayers.
Absolutely.
Anytime we get a chance to talk shop, as long as we're not, you know, on our way to film a panel or do a panel or basically do something as
do
press,
thing.
Then we will happily stop and talk with people at conventions.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, unless we have anything else for this episode 250 of Cosplay the Podcast for All Things Cosplay, we would like to invite you guys to join in on the conversation via any of our social media, which of course you can find down below.
Located underneath Amber for those of us who are watching because you have the video feed. But if you're one of those who are stuck with audio, that's okay too, because I'm going to tell you where to find us. You can visit us at cospod.org, on Facebook and Instagram at Cosplay Podcast, or on YouTube and Twitter at CosPodcast.
You can email us and let us know which Easter candy you think best represents Nick Cage.
Ooh.
Podcast at cospod.org, where of course you will get answers from both of us, along with probably some Easter-themed Nick Cage memes.
I'm going to go with, do they have, if they don't have one available, I would love to do a peep, but dye it black, because I think it would just be, like, appropriate for him.
Actually, I just want to see a little peep with, like, a little candle wick stuck in the top lit on fire. I have a thing for Ghost Rider, can you tell?
I love this already.
Otherwise, of course, we would like to wish you guys a happy cosplaying. Please stay safe, stay healthy out there, keep working on those cosplays so that we can all see your beautiful shining faces at a local convention sometime soon. We will see you guys next time in episode 251. Happy cosplaying, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye.